Third and final hour on this Monday morning. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5. The game, we are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate all the interaction in the last hour, talking about what could be a better Titans touchdown song. We got some good ones out there from all of you listening. If you want to chime in, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Big story this week, of course, is Titans roster cut down to 53 tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon, Titans have to be down to 53. Already a couple of cuts being reported. Justin Mello reporting over the last hour that the Titans are releasing Joshua Bledsoe at safety and Davion Ross at cornerback. So a couple of moves in the defensive backfield. Neither of those guys, I think, were being projected to make the team anyway, so no surprises quite yet, but we'll keep you updated as the Titans make their cuts down to 53. Obviously, a very tough day across the NFL for all of the players out there. I'm sure it's not easy on the coaches. I mean, Parker, we've heard Brian Callahan talk about this, that this is the worst part of his job. You've got to cut 37 guys, and you can only bring a handful of those guys back on the practice squad. There's a chance that some of these guys you're cutting maybe will never play football again. So obviously we talk about this, and you know, it can be fun to try and put the puzzle pieces in place and see who makes the 53, but these are people's livelihoods here. So obviously thinking about everybody who does get cut and hoping that they have a great next opportunity wherever that may end up.
You're basically telling somebody that their lifelong childhood dream will not be fulfilled, at least for the time being right now. I was telling TD on Thursday that I do not envy this job whatsoever. I would hate it. I would hate this part of the job.
It is tough. And like, you watch Hard Knocks and they have the cameras in the room when these cuts are being made, and the coaches, they try and rip it off like a Band-Aid as much as possible. Like, they sit down, they tell them, and usually it's, we're going to try and get you back on the practice squad. But it's still tough, and yeah, I agree. Don't envy it at all. The Titans have to get down to 53 by tomorrow afternoon, and everybody's making their 53-man roster predictions. I'm not going to go through one by one and put my 53 in place, because a lot of these are kind of givens. And I went through and just looked at, all right, I think there are 46 locks. I think you can go through on the team and say, these 46 guys, I would be stunned if any of them got cut. You know, maybe there's a couple, like, you're going to have two quarterbacks on the roster, and I did see Paul Kaharski in his 53 did mention that there's a chance maybe the Titans would consider Trevor Siemian over Brandon Allen as the backup. I'm going to put Brandon Allen in there, but they're going to have two quarterbacks. That's 46 spots. When you go through the entire roster, which means seven spots are up for grabs. And the way I'm looking at it is, now it becomes, all right, where do you want to use this depth? And to be honest, we talk about it a lot, how important the first waiver priority is. Where do you feel you can have some expendable pieces that can be replaced? So I do think out of those seven spots, you're going to keep an extra tight end. I only have Gunnar Helm and Chigakonkwo as the locks at tight end. Think you would lean David Martin Robinson right now?
If I was general manager, I would want to do that.
But you
that's
know,
just me.
It's not like David Martin Robinson is... he hasn't had the same training camp he had last year, where we were buzzing about him the entire time. But I do think, if I had to guess, it would be him. I think you're going to keep a ninth offensive lineman. I only have eight as locks, probably going to be your swing tackle. So somebody like an Ali Udo, Jalen Duncan, John Ajukwu, I would give Udo the edge there. And then on the defensive side, there really safety is the only position where you feel like you've got five that are pretty much locked in. You're going to keep Hooker Woods, Winston Diggs, and then I think Mike Brown is a special teamer. The other four position groups on defense, it's everybody fighting for that last spot in the room, and honestly, there's a decent chance that even if you do get that last spot in the room tomorrow, you may not stick around very long. So I think you're fighting for one spot at D-line, one at edge, one at linebacker, one at corner. So that's four of your seven, and then you're just making decisions of, all right, do you want to keep a seventh wide receiver? Do you want to keep maybe an extra offensive lineman? Do you go with four tight ends? They kept five last year. So they kept four last year, right? Jay, no.
They kept five.
They kept Thomas five to Odukoya start. Odukoya was on there, right. So they kept five last year. Do you keep a fourth tight end? Those are the questions that you have to ask. I think I would lean wide receiver. And just because the way Bones Fossil talked about Chim Dike as a punt returner last week, it doesn't seem like he's ready. We had the conversation about Van Jefferson at the beginning of the show. Van looked really good on Friday. And I think the situation with Van Jefferson and Elik Iyemanner at X is similar to James Prochet and Chim Dike at punt returner of, hey, this guy's going to be a transitional piece. They're not ready to jump right in week one and be your starting X or be your starting punt returner. So this guy's going to hold down the fort until you are ready. And so that's why I think Prochet makes the team, because DK, although you haven't seen anything disastrous yet when he's been back there returning punts, he caught the ball. He did have the one that looked kind of awkward sliding against Atlanta. But I think you keep Prochet, you keep seven wide receivers. The interesting conversation with keeping seven wide receivers is what Robbie and Joe talked about this morning, and what Paul Kaharski has been saying is you're not going to have seven wide receivers active on game days. So that makes it a really tough decision, because you're not going to scratch Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett. You're not going to scratch Van Jefferson, at least to start the season, maybe later on. Elik Iyemanner is going to be active. You have to have Bryce Oliver as a gunner, and if James Prochet is your punt returner, that means Chim Dike is probably going to have to be a healthy scratch early on in the season, and that's tough for a guy who you kind of hope is going to build up to be your big play speed threat down the field, and not giving him those opportunities on the field early in his rookie season. It's not exactly what you'd want, but if you don't feel comfortable having him be the punt returner, you're really left with no choice.
Absolutely. And Bones Fossil, he seemed hesitant about it, and that's why I think James Prochet is going to make this roster. I think he should be the primary punt return, kick return option.
Yes, and I think that means they keep seven. Probably means they only keep three tight ends, and it'll be Chig, Gunner, and likely David Martin Robinson. With the usage of Josh Wiley and Thomas Odukoya, I think you're probably going to see DMR get that last spot. Offensive line, you need a swing tackle. And that's the problem. You look at the offensive line, you've got the starting five, obviously, and Blake Hance, Jackson Slater, Corey Levin. That's good interior depth. I think you feel fine if, first off, if Lloyd Cushenberry maybe isn't ready for the season, I think you feel fine with Corey Levin there. Or if Kevin Zeitler maybe gets banged up a little bit, I think you feel fine with Slater and Hance being able to fill in. But that third tackle, unless you want to push Blake Hance out to tackle, which still isn't comforting, Ali Udo is at least experienced. And I think it's one of those things coaches and managers across all sports, they tell you that, hey, we don't have to say what we think of these guys. How we use them is going to tell you what we think of these guys. And every time the Titans have taken one or both of their starting tackles off the field, it's been Ali Udo who's taken their spot. I think that pretty much tells you who's going to make the roster.
Right, and then your other option is undrafted free agent Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think they keep nine, but you really got to focus on the interior too. Guys like Jackson Slater. I think John Ajuku has an argument. Maybe Andrew Rupchich. This is going to be the tough part, is the offensive line.
Yeah, and I think it's Udo. Rupchich could be in that conversation, but he's more interior. I do like Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon as an undrafted guy. I think he ends up on the practice squad, but I think this ends the Jalen Duncan and John Ajuku experience, which I think is probably a good thing for the Titans. Did see an old friend at tackle get cut loose. Leroy Watson is going to be out there on waivers. I don't think the Titans will be interested in a reunion, but the Titans, again, do have the first waiver claim priority and likely will use that multiple times, if not a handful of times, over the next couple of days. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're doing roster math. We're going through checking out what the Titans might do over the next 24 or so hours as they cut down to 53. The one thing that made it obvious to me, that became obvious to me as I was going through this process was, yeah, you've got your 46 locks, and that might be pretty much all of the NFL rosterable talent on this team right now. The drop-off is steep, and that likely means a lot of these guys who make the initial 53 will be replaced. Where do those waiver claims come? We'll talk about that coming up next. Jake Lyman and Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. It's Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. Titans finishing up the preseason 2-1, a 23-13 win over the Vikings on Friday night. Now they look ahead to Denver, week one coming up just 13 days away. Titans will be up there in Mile High. Tough stretch to start the season with Broncos and Rams. Cam Ward will be tested immediately. But first things first, Titans have to cut down their roster to 53. And we're going through the roster math. I, again, went through and I came away with 46 locks on the roster. And I think out of the seven spots remaining, you know that there are spots that have to go to one specific position. Like, you're not going to keep just four edge rushers, three inside linebackers. Like, you need to add at least one player there. But the one thing that really stood out to me when doing this is you get past those 46 locks and it's just not deep enough. There's just not enough NFL talent on this roster right now, which I do think the first waiver priority is a little overblown, but this is the important spot where you can use it because there are, if I can do quick math in my head, 37 players from each team coming loose. That's what, like a 1,000 players that are coming free? There has to be a couple in there that you think can upgrade your team. So I think you're going to see, I think you set the over-under at like 2.5 waiver claims for the Titans, and I would lean over on that. I'd say it probably ends up being 3 or 4. Because you look at this team, I think the offensive side, you feel pretty good about where you are. Now, Tajay Spears, Terry McCormick reporting earlier this morning that he is likely to go on short-term IR once he's added to the 53. So I think running back is a spot where you could see a waiver claim. But you're likely not going to claim anybody at wide receiver or tight end. Probably not on the offensive line unless somebody in one of those spots comes loose that you really weren't expecting. But on the defensive side, you can make an argument that a waiver claim might be necessary at every single spot except for safety. And corner is the one where they absolutely need a waiver claim. Whoever the best corner, Mike Borgonzi, he's talked about how the last couple weeks, all he's done and all his scouting staff has done is watch these preseason games. I'm sure they found a corner that they have at least circled, or a couple of corners that they've at least circled who could come loose. You need to get one. Because this cornerback room hinges a lot on L'Jarius Sneed and whether he is healthy, whether he is productive. Those are two big questions, and honestly, I don't know if I feel good about either of them. Roger McCreary, you like in the nickel. Jarvis Brownlee looks like he's taken a good step forward from year one to year two. Daryl Baker's a fine depth piece. And Marcus Harris, the rookie out of Cal, has had his moments in the preseason. I don't know how good you feel if he has to play significant snaps for you.
And he'll be playing at nickel, too, behind Roger McCreary. I think that's his best spot. But these are your corners right now, as I have it on my roster projection. L'Jarius Sneed, Jarvis Brownlee, Daryl Baker, Gabe Judy-Lawley. Gabe Judy-Lawley was an undrafted free agent guy. He's been making plays in camp, but still. And then Jarvis Brownlee was pretty good as a rookie. He had some bad moments. Daryl Baker played pretty solid. I'd say he's this team's best corner. But L'Jarius Sneed, you just don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I like Gabe Judy-Lawley. And I thought in the Falcons game, he made a couple of eye-opening plays. Outside of maybe Cedric Gray, I think he was probably the guy on defense who stood out the most to me in that game. And you could put Kendall Brooks in there, too, with the pick six. But Judy-Lawley was playing coverage, and he was getting his nose in there in the run game. I would lean that he makes the roster. I just don't know how long he's there. Because you look at the other options. We already, Justin Mello reporting that Davion Ross, one of the undrafted free agent corners the Titans signed, he is already, they're planning on releasing him. Jamari Harris is the other undrafted free agent they brought in from Iowa, who there was some some buzz around him coming into camp because he was a talented guy. I think it was off the field concerns with him coming in. He hasn't really flashed much. And then your other options are Jalen Kimber and Amani Oruwariye, who, I mean, Oruwariye, he has flashed in a very bad way during the preseason. So I would not expect to see any of those last three guys. If I had to guess, I think it's Judy Lawley makes the team, and he might be one of those expendable pieces when waiver claims come through. At inside linebacker, it's kind of the same. I think you maybe don't need to make a waiver claim there, and maybe it depends on how they feel about Asamoah, the linebacker they claimed from Minnesota earlier in the preseason, because maybe he's the fourth guy if you like what he can do on special teams, but your other options there are Curtis Jacobs and Amari Burney. I do feel a lot better about the top of the inside linebacker room than I did at the beginning of the year, though, because heading into training camp, I think Cody Barton was a question mark, but he was the most solid thing you had in that room, obviously. He's an NFL veteran who's played as a starter for multiple teams, so you at least felt decent about Cody Barton as an option. But Cedric Gray and James Williams were huge questions heading into training camp, and both of those guys have played well. I've been so impressed with Cedric Gray in these last two preseason games, but you probably do need a waiver claim at the back end of that room. Edge, you probably need a waiver claim, unless you... Parker, you've been out there at practice. Like, do you feel decent about Ali Gay or Jalen Harrell as your fifth pass rusher there?
No, and that's what I'm struggling with, because I'm actually going through this roster right now. I have Arden Key, Femi Oladejo, Draymond Jones, Jahad Ward, Ali Gay, and Jalen Harrell, but I feel very unconfident in that group.
Yeah, and then like the defensive line, I think your top four set, Simmons, Sweat, Joseph Day, James Lynch made a nice play.
I think it'll be James Lynch.
James Lynch, he got the hit on whoever was playing quarterback for the Vikings. Was it Brosmer or Brett Rypien? One of those two guys.
I think it was Max Brosmer. Yeah, I think
the rookie out of Minnesota. He was a Golden Gopher. James Lynch hit him. That led to the interception from James Williams at the goal line. So I think Lynch is your fourth defensive lineman. That's a fine fourth defensive lineman. But I think you'd like to keep five, especially since Tavondre Sweat probably isn't going to be 100% for game one. Maybe it's Carlos Watkins. Cam Horsley's had some moments. Timmy Horn. But, like, you don't feel great about that. The issue is, I'm looking at these seven spots that I don't think are locks. And I think one goes to James Prochet. I think one goes to a tight end. So that gets you down to five. And one goes to an offensive tackle. So there you go. You're down to four open spots. 50, 51, 52, 53 are probably going to be one apiece at defensive line, edge, inside linebacker, corner. And there's a chance none of those guys end up on the week one roster.
Yeah, I'm doing the math back here, and I'm really struggling with offensive line because I have them keeping eight, but I tend to think that they're going to keep nine.
I think
like
it
you
has
said,
to be nine, right?
Because what happened? Because I have them taking Corey Levin, backup center, Jackson Slater, who can be your swing guard because you drafted him and spent a pick on him, and then Udo is your backup tackle.
So you don't have Hants in there?
I see. That's the thing. Like either Hants or Crenshaw Dixon. I think Crenshaw Dixon makes the practice squad. I would lean towards Hants, but I just don't know who to cut out. Like, do you keep three tight? If you keep three tight ends, then that makes an extra roster spot for
I mean, I think you keep Hants because he's got that inside outside versatility, which at least gives you a little bit more flexibility if somebody was to get hurt. But you do need a true swing tackle, and I mean, Ali Udo is not a good true swing tackle, and I don't think you feel great if he has to go out there and play significant snaps. But I at least think he's the best of the options they have when compared to Jalen Duncan or John Ajukwu or Brandon Crenshaw Dixon. So I think they keep nine. It's your starting five and then Hants, Udo, Slater, Levin. I would guess if I had to right now that they make four waiver claims. And I know that's a big number, but I think you're going to see them make a waiver claim at four out of these five positions: running back, defensive line, edge, linebacker, corner. I think they make four claims for those five positions. And
say those again.
Running back, defensive line, edge, linebacker, corner.
Yeah, I'd have to agree, because your defensive line, or it's really the edge rushers that I'm concerned about, because that group outside of Arden Key, like Femi's a rookie, but like Draymond Jones, Jahad Ward, Allie Gay, Jalen Harrell, I don't feel good about.
I mean, they've talked about they want to collapse the pocket from the interior. They have to actually follow through with that edge group, because I don't see anybody in that edge group getting more than 6 sacks. Like, is that a good number? Like, I think Jones and Key, maybe, because Key is such a streaky pass rusher. Like, he had that stretch of 2 or 3 games where he had 4 sacks, but then he disappeared for a month. So I think Key and Jones, you could see them get up to 6. Femi, I thought, looked better on Friday. Like, Femi, although I don't think he's where they want him to be, and I don't think he's going to be an immediate contributor for this team, but from preseason game to preseason game, I think he's improved each time.
Yeah, and I hear tons of people being overly critical. I mean, his job specifically, like in the first 3 preseason games, was having a wide outside rush to kind of collapse the pocket so other people could get the sacks and the numbers. So that's just playing complimentary football. Are you in the camp of giving Femi some grace, because he's not even a full year into playing the outside backer position?
Yeah, I mean, I said it when they drafted him, that was not a draft pick for 2025. That's a draft pick for 2027. And you hope that this year, I always say I don't want to call it a redshirt year, because that's not fair. They're going to have him playing. But I think they're not as worried about the production for Femi Oladejo this year than they are about the gradual improvement throughout the season. When Paul Kaharsky was on with us last week or the week before, he was talking about how if Titans fans really want to see progress this year, you've got to pay attention to the minute details of like how Femi Oladejo's footwork and his hand placement improves from week to week. That's what it's going to be for Femi this year, is the gradual improvement. You hope next year maybe can be a breakout year for him, and then he's one of your top pass rushers by 2027. I don't think this year is going to be a big year for Femi. But I do think it is encouraging that he's flashed more and more as we've gone from week to week in the preseason.
Yeah, no doubt. And they're throwing, Denard Wilson's talked about this over and over, but they're throwing the kitchen sink at him. They're having him out in coverage. They're having him rush the passer. They're having him try to stop the run. And with a guy, when you're converting him to outside backer full time, especially making the jump from UCLA to the NFL, you're just trying to see what sticks. And what sticks is what they're going to focus on when it comes to Femi Oladejo.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If we'd love to hear from you. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Final 30 minutes of the show. It is going to be a busy week for the Two-Tone Blue. Cut down day tomorrow. Then they'll have waiver claims, a couple of practices leading into Labor Day weekend. And then after that, it's game week. You'll get a full game week with injury reports, everything, coming up next week. Titans making their cutdowns. We'll continue to talk roster math on the other side. Also had a couple of spare thoughts from Friday night's game against the Vikings on the defensive side of the ball. We'll get to that in these final couple of segments. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final couple of segments here on this Monday. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, next man up, 102.5 The Game. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts on the Titans, their preseason finale on Friday night, or the roster cutdown, which happens tomorrow, or it'll be happening over the next 24 hours or so as the Titans get down from 90 to 53. Couple of thoughts on where the Titans might use their top waiver priority, because as we look through the roster, we realize that, yeah, the bottom 4 or 5 on this team probably could be upgraded somewhere. And I do understand the Brian Callahan, I thought, was asked a great question. I'm blanking on who asked the question of, you know, trying to balance the idea of, yeah, this player might be a little bit more talented than what we have on the roster right now, but this guy's also been in this room for the last 6 months, and he's been in our culture and in our systems. I think that is important to note, too. So I said 4 waiver claims. I wouldn't be shocked if it's less than that. I think anything more than 4 would be a lot and would you know, tip the hand a little bit at what Mike Borgonzi thinks of this roster if he is willing to make five waiver claims or more. I don't think it's going to happen. The Titans, again, I think mostly will be looking on the defensive side of the football. There really isn't a lot of depth anywhere except for safety and running back, with the news today that it's likely, according to Terry McCormick, that the Titans will start Tajay Spears on short-term IR. Looking at a possible replacement for him, I didn't see this yesterday, and, you know, he may be past his prime, and I know there's been some issues internally with Cam Akers, but he was just cut from the New Orleans Saints. Maybe that's a guy they bring in. That's a shifty guy in the open field. Maybe could be a replacement for Tajay Spears for a couple of weeks. Amir Abdullah let go from the San Francisco 49ers. So a couple options already out there, and a lot more players going to be let go over the next 24 or so hours. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland is on the line wanting to chime in. Adam, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Jake, you didn't like the Jake from Hate Farm thing?
I didn't like that. I didn't think I was being a hater. I think, you know,
I just really wanted to use it, honestly.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'll use that from now on. Maybe we make it a segment where I just complain about something. Jake from Hate Farm.
I like it. Yeah, well, you might get sued, but yeah, not cool. Hey, so here's my deal, man. I haven't really – has your opinion changed about anything from the preseason? Like, I'm just here like – okay, I'm a little more excited about Cam than I was. I'll say that, but I didn't walk away going we're going to be way worse, and I didn't walk away going we're going to be able to score. I still feel like people are going to do whatever they want to do on our defense until they prove to me that they can stop a real team with the ones. We don't even know what the ones look like. That's why I hated so much for Jeff to sit any time out, and if Tavondre could have got his big butt out there, I would like to have seen it, because we have no idea what our one on defense looks like together, you know? So, like, I walk away just, I don't know, kind of confused about what it's going to look like, dude. Like, if they could surprise us to a 10-win season or something, and I wouldn't know. I don't know anything about this team as it's currently constructed right now. I think everything's going to be a surprise.
Yeah, Adam, I think you're right. I mean, I don't think, in general, I don't think you can take a ton from the preseason. We've talked about it before. Last year, the Titans went 3-0 in the preseason. They went 3-14 and had the number one pick. The Lions, who went 0-16, they went 4-0 in the preseason. So did the Browns when they went 0-16. Like, the preseason doesn't tell you a whole lot. I would say the two things that I think I feel differently about after the preseason, and again, take this with a grain of salt, because as Adam said, the ones for the Titans on both sides of the ball really didn't see any starters in all three preseason games. I feel better about the offensive line. I think the offensive line has proven that they deserve a little bit of trust heading into this year, with, first of all, the investment put in and all the reports coming out of camp and what we've seen in the preseason. It seems like that group is going to hold their own. So I think I feel better about the offensive line.
Yeah, I think Adam in Portland was pretty spot on, because, yeah, I feel better. I feel much better about Cam. I feel better about the offensive line, but nothing in terms of my opinion has really changed. I felt really good about Alec Ailemaner when he was drafted. I felt good about Gunnar Helm when he was drafted. They have lived up to my expectations so far. Cedric Gray, I guess, because he's been making plays.
That was where I was going next, was I think the one big surprise to me is that the young inside linebackers have flashed.
James Williams as well.
Right.
He seems like he's really getting in a groove of the transition from safety to backer. His body looks different. And he played majority next to Cody Barton in preseason training camp. So I still think Cedric Gray is going to get the start, though.
I think so, too. And I think those are the two spots where my opinion has differed a little bit throughout the preseason. Is heading into training camp with the offensive line, we talked about all the investment in it, but with how bad the offensive line has been for the last half decade, it's like, all right, you got to show me that you're better. And I get it. It's not the regular season yet, and we have to see it in Denver in a couple of weeks. But everything I've seen has allowed me to, you know, the nerves about the offensive line, I think, have been calmed a little bit. I feel like that's going to be a competent group this year, which is all you can ask for.
And even then, if they're average,
right,
it's much better than what you've had.
Again, be the 15th best offensive line in the league, and that is a huge improvement over everything since Taylor Lewan blew out his knee for the second time. And then the inside linebackers. I think that is a group that was widely regarded as maybe one of the worst position groups in the NFL. Like, it was a room that had, heading into the training camp, almost no redeeming qualities. Like, it was like, all right, we got a hodgepodge of young guys and a journeyman free agent we brought in. Can they figure it out? I think that's going to be a decent room for this team. So those are the two groups that I think have changed. For Cam Ward, I think it's about the same. Again, I had high expectations for Cam Ward. I think at first he underwhelmed, but he's worked his way back up and developed well throughout training camp. Every other position has been about exactly as I would have expected. The wide receivers, the corners, you know, the defensive line we haven't seen a ton out of because Sweat hasn't been out there. I think maybe that's the biggest area of concern for me that I didn't have at the beginning of training camp is, will Tavondre Sweat be able to take the next step considering he missed pretty much all of training camp?
Yeah, just the defensive line in general is probably at that and corner are the two spots that scare me the most. And who knew that we would be saying this about inside backer, about how we actually feel good about this group, right? Or somewhat decent. Cody Barton, to me, if you saw what he was doing on Friday, I mean, he was directing everybody. He knows what the entire defense is doing. And that being that cerebral and that green dot guy is going to help this defense more than anything. Having him leading the pack in the middle, and then you got Imani Hooker, who's a well-established veteran, Jeffrey Simmons up front, that's big time.
Yes. I think the inside linebacker, we can call them the most improved position group throughout training camp in the preseason. Overall, though, it's a good call from Adam, because even splitting hairs, these marginal changes in opinion on these different position groups, I don't think it changes the win total. Like, I still think this is a 5-6 win, maybe 7 win team at the end of the day, but that's a step forward based on last year. And I think just having competent quarterback and offensive line play could be enough for 2-3 extra wins alone. We'll see what the rest of the changes to this roster can lead to in 2025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Last call for phones on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will wrap up the show coming up next with some thoughts on Big Jeff. He was out there on the field on Friday, and I was impressed from what I saw from big number 98 in his preseason debut this year. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final segment on this Monday morning. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe coming up right after us with reaction to week 0 in college football, Titans' final preseason game on Friday night, and much more. Excited to listen in to Chase and Joe. And again, tomorrow, it is a TD Tuesday. I know that the TD has been bouncing around with us the last couple of weeks with Titans practice moving, but he will be with us tomorrow getting ready for cut down day coming up tomorrow afternoon. So we'll get all of TD's thoughts on the 53-man roster and what the Titans could look like heading into week one. Excited to have Teron Davenport with us for the full show tomorrow morning. Let's wrap up the show with some thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons. But first, Justin Mello, who he's the guy to follow on Twitter if you want to know Titans cut news, reports the Titans are waiving undrafted free agent cornerback Jalen Kimber. Kimber signed with the Titans out of Penn State after the 2025 NFL draft. So seems like the DB rooms are where the Titans are making their first cuts. Joshua Bledsoe, Davion Ross, Jalen Kimber are the first reported cuts for the Titans as they work their way down to 53. And actually, from Paul Kaharsky, couple other cuts. Joe Gaziano, who is on the defensive line. Julius Wood has been cut. And Jaquan Jackson has been cut. So Jackson, 6th-round pick out of Tulane. Really not a whole lot of surprise there. He showed flashes last year, thought that maybe he could be the solution at returner, but after one season with the team, he has been cut. Maybe a chance he comes back on the practice squad. I did have some thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons. He was out on the field on Friday night. And Parker, I thought he looked great. And I understand it was against the backup offensive line, but I thought he did what he was supposed to do against the backups, and he dominated. There was multiple reps from my seats that I was like, all right, I'm going to watch Jeff on this play. And he was only out there for 2 drives. And Jeff just pushed aside the guard like they weren't even there. The Vikings were doing everything they could to get the ball out quick, because I think they knew that Jeffrey Simmons versus their backup offensive lineman probably wasn't going to end well. But there were multiple times where he just brushed aside a blocker, got into the backfield. He made a nice tackle for loss. So again, it's early, but I liked the early returns on Jeff Simmons with the new look body and the way that he's playing. I think we could be in for a big year from Jeff Simmons. Obviously, he's got to go out and prove it. He's got to stay healthy. But he did look like the guy he's supposed to look like playing against second string players on Friday.
And I know we've had our complaints about Jeffrey Simmons here at this station, but we will give him his props too. He looks really good. His body, just seeing him up close and in person, he looks really good. And I'll give him props for begging Brian Callahan to play a series or two on Friday night, because it seems like he hasn't played a preseason game in 4 or 5 years maybe. So I'll give him props. I thought he looked really good and excited to see what he can do on the field this season.
Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons, from everybody who's been at practice, that's one of the first things they mentioned, is you see Jeff and it's like, yeah, that dude is in the best shape of his life. And on Friday night, he didn't have to go out and play. Like, he's kind of earned with his status and what he's done at the NFL level. Like, you don't really need to see him in the preseason. I thought it was good to have him out there. And again, I think he did what you expect an all-pro level player to do against second stringers, which is, I thought he dominated. Like, obviously he didn't get sacks, but again, I was like, the Vikings were just trying to get the ball out as fast as they could, because I think they understood that Simmons with the starting edge guys, even though the Titans starting edge guys might not be the best out there, that you were going to have pressure in your face pretty much immediately. And Jeff Simmons, he looked great. I'm excited to see what he looks like in week one. The question becomes Tavondre Sweat. And Brian Callahan did say in his press conference Saturday after the game on Friday, he said that J.C. Latham, Calvin Ridley, and Tavondre Sweat are all tracking for week one. So that is good news. Those are three really, really important players for you to have ready for that opening game against the Broncos. Latham, I think, most importantly. Ridley, probably in that same tier. But with Tavondre Sweat, I don't know how impactful he's going to be in week one, having missed so much time in training camp in the preseason and having to play in the thin air up there at Mile High. But it is good to hear that he'll at least be hopefully ready for that game, because Simmons and Sweat, if the Titans' defense is going to be better this year, those are the two guys who need to have big seasons.
Yeah, and Simmons feels the pressure because he knows that this defensive line room is not great by any means. So he feels the pressure and he's responding, I feel like, at least in a good way in the offseason when games weren't being played, of taking the necessary steps to changing your body. Tavondre Sweat even mentioned that he lost a little bit of weight too, which I'm sure can only be a good thing. But they're going to be heavily reliant upon them. And also, Legarius Sneed said at practice last week that he'll be trending to play for week one at Denver. So if you're able to get him back, and again, not asking him to be a top five, top 10 corner, just play average, and that'll help the secondary so much.
Yeah, Legarius Sneed just needs to be a starting caliber corner. And again, you mentioned he said he's confident for week one, but we've been hearing it for weeks. Legarius Sneed saying he's the healthiest he's ever been, he's coming back, and finally was activated off the PUP last week. I'll believe it when I see it, if he's out there in uniform against Denver in week one. But you're right, Tavondre Sweat, I think he was hoping for a big year coming off what was a solid rookie season. Hit a little bit of a bump in the road with the abdominal injury and then the tonsillitis, and he hasn't been able to be out there. We'll see how impactful he is early in the season. I do have to say, even though you mentioned Sweat may have lost some weight, it was easy to find Tavondre Sweat on the sideline.
Oh, and yeah, no, 100%.
Like, I was looking down there on Friday night, and I'm like, oh, where's that? I was looking, there's Calvin Ridley, and I was like, all right, where's Sweat? And immediately, you're like, oh, it's the guy who's bigger without pads on than everybody else with their pads
on. The guy
on.
Who looks like a house, that's him.
Yeah, so Tavondre Sweat, still the big T-Sweat, Meatloaf, whatever you want to call him. The hope is that he is ready for week one. Again, Brian Callahan saying that he hopes Latham, Sweat, and Ridley are all going to be ready for the opener against Denver. Lots of moves going to be made over the next couple days. Make sure you keep it right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll have all your updates as the cuts continue to come in. We've heard of at least six from the Titans so far, courtesy of Justin Mello and Paul Kaharsky on X throughout the morning. I'm sure there will be many more in the afternoon and throughout tomorrow as the Titans have to get down to 53.
I'm keeping my email refreshed.
Right.
Just waiting for the emails.
They're going to get down to 53 by 3 o'clock tomorrow. Mike Borgonzi going to speak on Wednesday about the moves they make. And by that time, you would think we start to know some of the waiver claims as well, as the Titans will surely use their top waiver priority at least once. I would expect more times than that. That'll just about do it for us on this Monday. Big thanks to Parker Kelly. I'm Jake Lyman. Again, reminder, TD Tuesday tomorrow, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, going to join us for all 3 hours tomorrow as we prepare for the Titans to cut down to 53. That wraps it up. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.